You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Kate Tracy with you on the latest edition. We're looking ahead to Tuesday's action. Good afternoon, Miss Tracy.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for having me back again.
Are you all right?
I am. I don't sound like I am, but I actually am. I'm fine in my body and spirit, just not in my voice today.
Yeah. Independently, Kate and I both had quite busy weekends.
Very busy.
We'll call them social weekends.
Yeah.
That sounds nicer than...
It was social, yeah.
Very social.
Networking even, I push it to.
Networking. It's a new kind of networking, but hey, it's Monday now. Mm-hmm. We're firing on most cylinders, and we've hopefully got a couple of winners for you on Tuesday. We'll get to them shortly, but we start as ever by discussing the Monday jury, stolen shamelessly once again from the Racing Post. Six questions coming your way, and we start with Lost in Translation, who was very impressive indeed in winning the Betfair Chase on Saturday. Does he deserve to be Gold Cup favourite after his Betfair Chase win?
Favourite? I wouldn't say quite favourite. I fancied him before Saturday for the Triple Crown, mm-hmm. the £1 million bonus of obviously the Betfair Chase, the King George and the Gold Cup. However, obviously... Gold Cup. I'm not a fan of sort of looking ahead straight away to the fancy runners. Obviously, Surname will end up going there, most likely, obviously all being well after the King George, but don't really fancy him left-handed. Well, I know that Paul Nicholls and Harry Cobden don't really fancy him going left-handed anyway. So whether he goes there will remain to be seen. Obviously, we've still got the unknown quantity of Altior. We've got everything coming over from Ireland. So 100% he deserves to be up there in the betting.
He's four to one currently.
So, Ken Boy, obviously provided that everything's sorted by then with Supreme Racing, then
He's six to one second in. Mm. Just going back to that Betfair Chase win. Mm-hmm. Obviously, to beat Bristol Dumai, given that Bristol Dumai, that was his race, if you like. Just the way that he travelled was absolutely sublime, wasn't it?
It was fantastic, and the way he jumped as well. And I know Puppy Power, obviously we knew beforehand there was going to be a fair amount of pace on in the race, but how cold he had to ride Lost in Translation, and the ground then he had to make up. And, you know, he came out and said straight away afterwards just that he felt he almost got there a bit too soon even. And I just loved the way he was still able to fiddle his jumps, because obviously at Carlisle before that he showed all the exuberance you could wish to see with a horse and how much scope. But I just liked at Haydock that when he had to go in short, he really did. And the fact, I think Bristol Dumai ran up to his form from the last 2 years, definitely, by the distance that they gained on the other two runners. So I definitely think he's run up to himself, which just puts Lost in Translation's efforts into even more context. And he's a really exciting proposition going ahead for the King George.
If we're talking new kids on the block, if you like, who beat the old timers, then we have to mention Surname, who was too good for Altior at Ascot. The question is, where would you go next if you owned him? I think we've already touched on that, haven't we, really? King George.
Yes, for Surname I would do, definitely. He likes Kempton anyway, doesn't he? He's beaten around there, and the track will suit him. I know Ascot's obviously a stiffer finish, but both right-handed tracks, and both have enough of a jumping test as well. And it'll be my only concern with him for the King George is that I don't think he's going to get quite an easy time of it out in front that he has done on his last few starts at Ascot. I think there'll be a fair, because obviously they sprint from start to finish pretty much in the King George, and I do think that that's his only sort of downfall, is that if he does start to get taken on for lead, it might bring back those old demons of when he used to be very keen in the past. So that's the biggest concern, but I would go just straight to the King George now with him.
It is a mouth-watering prospect, the King George. Mm-hmm. The third question factors in the fact that you could have Lost in Translation, Surname and Clan de Zobo, last year's winner, coming up against each other. 5-2 joint favourites currently, Lost in Translation and Surname. Clan de Zobo 5s, Altior 6s and 14s and bigger the rest. But this could be it's a bit cheesy, but it could be a Christmas cracker, couldn't it?
Yeah, no, I really love that. If you're ever going to use that pun, it has to be now. Yeah, it really could. If all of these turn up, and I'm praying they do, because the last few weeks have just got more and more exciting. Obviously, you've seen Footbag come back to himself, Duvan come back to himself. Obviously, the Gold Cup winners entered in there as well. So it could be a real, real, mouth-watering prospect with obviously Klander's oboe, probably shaped fitter for his first start of the season as well. I mean, Paul Nicholls came out and said that. So, and yeah, Harry Cobden's going to have an interesting dilemma on his hands. He'll go with surname, won't he, anyway? But at least someone will get a lovely spin-off of Klander's oboe, who Harry Cobden chose over Politolog last season. Mm. So it is. It's going to be really intriguing. And if Altior goes there as well, then I think Altior will come on heaps from that run the other day as well. He was so tired on Saturday.
Yeah.
So tired. And everyone said beforehand, I wasn't actually there that day, but I had a fair few people who saw him in the paddock, and they said he had a fair amount of condition on him still, and how tired he was walking back in. The fact Nico de Boinville had to jump off of him, and he put his all into it. And surname, I don't think he'll improve from this. I think he was tuned up for this perfectly because of how much Nicholls, being Nicholls, wanted to win that race, wanted to prove the point that he deserved to be the highest rated chaser. And so he was tuned up to perfection, and you could see how fit and lean he was. And Altior was the opposite, and Henderson's horses have all needed the run. So I think Altior will come on for this.
So you wouldn't give up on Altior?
Definitely not. And I really hope they do run him, because I think he stayed. I mean, there's no way you could judge that he didn't.
And I used that phrase lightly. I mean, give up on him. You can't give up on Altior. But just in terms of, he could quite easily get revenge for that run if he does improve for it, as Kate mentioned. What about question number four? If the cap fits, could he develop into a credible threat to Paisley Park? If we're looking at the stayers hurdle market, Paisley Park's 15-8. It's 8-1 if the cap fits, and 10s and bigger the remainder. If the cap fits, of course, winning over the weekend as well.
Yeah, he was really impressive over the weekend, wasn't he? And he definitely looks like that's the realm he's going to go into, obviously, to take on Paisley Park in the stayers hurdle division. And it's an interesting division right now, actually. Obviously, we've got Bacardi's, who won so well, and him coming back to hurdling and coming back to the stayers hurdle division as well. But definitely, the way that he won at Ascot there on Saturday was very impressive. And as we know, Paisley Park is a really classy horse in his own right, obviously, because but he has got his little weaknesses. In fact, he sort of dosses as well, Paisley Park, and the way he kind of travels through his races, so it is out there for a challenger to come to him. And the way that if the cap fits shaped could really give him something to think about. Just the way he grinds out the finish, I really did like. And it's going to be an exciting division.
Next question, penultimate one. Give us a horse who caught your eye this weekend. We've mentioned plenty of them already, but is there something left field, or are you going to stick to the ones that we've already mentioned as the most impressive winner, or just one that caught your eye?
No, I'm going to go with Lorena. So I'm going against the ones that we mentioned. Yeah. Really impressive at Goring. And I just loved the way she jumped. I always thought that she was naturally going to make a chaser, because when she won the Mare's Novices at the festival there a couple of years ago, and she was so impressive that day. Maria's Benefit was behind, and obviously herself a very, very smart mare, and she just never looked in doubt, travelled so powerfully. And you could just see she'll take to the softer going, whatever anything comes up at for the rest of the season. And I just thought she jumped really well. And she definitely is the one for me who I'm going to take forward for the rest of the season.
Okay, final question. And this is an easy one. Ladbrokes Trophy coming up this weekend, of course. Who wins it? Currently, 5-1 favourite is OK Corral, 6-1 for Cabaret Queen. On the blind side, 9s, 10-1 Mr. Malarkey, and bigger prices the rest. It looks as wide open a race as we've come to expect.
Yeah.
Have you got a fancy? You're allowed to say no if you don't.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have the strongest of fancies, but I definitely think OK Corral is the correct favourite. As I mean, OK Corral's been talked about this race for the whole season so far. It's been laid out for it, so obviously you have to respect that from that point of view. And of a rating of 1.51, is very fair for this horse. And obviously Nicky Henderson knows how to win this race. He won it with Bobsworth and a Triolo DLN the next year, so knows exactly what it takes to win this. And it's very open. It's an intriguing division with obviously West Approach, who came back really well at Cheltenham there the other day. Trying to still get over his out of his brother's shadow,
yes,
eventually. And he deserved that win the other day. Elegant Escape, obviously a previous Welsh national winner, who everything will be in his favour as well. So it's very interesting, but I'm going to go with OK Corral for an unoriginal opinion.
5-1 though, still a fair price, I suppose, despite the fact that OK Corral is currently the market leader. That's coming up this weekend. We'll have more on that on the racing podcast through the course of the week. We'll change tack a little bit now though. I'm going to focus on some flat action on Tuesday. A couple of races coming your way from Wolverhampton, and we start with the 450 race, which is a nursery over 7 furlongs. And this is difficult because you've got a few who arrive here in admittedly very good form, including You Don't Own Me, who was a winner just 6 days ago. That said, there's also some that blatantly have more to show. It's just when they're going to start showing it, or indeed, Kate, if they're going to start showing it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And as you say, we've got a fair amount of form to go on. And I'm actually going to go against the number one horse there in You Don't Own Me, who I imagine we'll go off a near enough favourite. And I'm going to go with a horse that actually beat him last time out in Shumley, apologies, who was £11 better off than You Don't Own Me last time out when beating him into second at Wolverhampton over 7 furlongs. And beaten by half a length that day. And actually in the weights today, though, is even better off again. So I can definitely see him coming up with the same form again, albeit Pierre-Louis Germain is going to be taking off the £7 off of You Don't Own Me's back. But
She just bounced into form, though, didn't she, last time, really? She hadn't shown much.
No.
Bits and pieces here and there. But then all of a sudden, you think, well, if she's got the hang of this now, this could be the time to strike while the iron's hot.
That's exactly it. And with these two-year-olds, and especially two-year-old fillies at this time of year, you really do want to be striking whilst the iron's hot. And I'm hoping, as you say, she went into that race at 10-1 shots, but she was really impressive. She was a bit keen early on, but still managed to keep on well. So so I can imagine her doing the same again over course and distance, obviously. And she'd be the one who I think you'd probably get a little bit more of a price on her.
Yeah, could be an each-way play even. Shumley in that contest. Okay, that's the 450. The 550 is the other race that we're going to discuss. As we record this at what time? We're nearly 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon. We do have betting. Rocket Action 11-4, 7-2 for Leo De Stream, 9-2 for Corinthian Knight, as well as Royal Birth, The Greatest Showman 6-1, 9 for Kick On. Tanasok is 10s, and Canford Bay 14-1. This is a who's who of horses that have been in decent form either recently or not too long ago. Rocket Action, currently the market leader, but it's a good little contest, this.
It is. It is a really good contest. And as you say, horses who are in good form at the minute and have also got good form around Wolverhampton as well. Mm. So it is. It's horses who are very much in their prime at the minute. But I am going to side with Rocket Action because of that last win. Obviously, he's a dual course and distance winner. And the last win came on the 6th of November. And the horse that he beat into second that day, Watchable from a David O'Mara team, came out again on the 24th of November and won at Newcastle over 5 furlongs in a Class 3 handicap. So from some good horses in behind. So the form has stacked up massively. And is up £8 for that win. However, I can definitely see, because he's in such good form and because the form of that race is stacked up, that he can go well again today off of 9-3. So relatively, because of the calibre of the rest of the runners in this race, is still not badly weighted in this handicap. So, I'm going to side with Rocket Action, and there's still a bit of value there for you if you did want.
Rocket Action currently 11-4 and does have intertwining form with Leo De Stream from a little while back, but since then Leo De Stream has gone on to run a little below par in two outings and is currently second in. But it'll be interesting to see who comes out on top this time around. Hopefully Rocket Action for Kate. That's in the 550, and in the 450 the pick was Shumley. Kate, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, as always.
And you can tune into the racing podcast through the course of the week, of course, building up to another fantastic weekend of jumping action. Couple of fancies on the flat for Tuesday. Good luck if you are getting involved.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.